going to begin reading on verse 1. Our subject's going to be prayer. Prayer is something that is of vital importance to us, each of us. I believe many times prayers don't reach any higher than the ceiling, if that far, because of the attitude and mindset that we have. Prayer is vital. Very vital. And one reason why we don't see prayer as we ought to in this day that we live in is because it takes time. And people don't have time. There's time for everything but prayer. And if you're not prayed up, you're not going to walk through these doors and worship God in spirit and truth as you ought. When I go Saturdays in my study, preparing for Sunday, I spend much time in prayer before I ever begin to study the Scriptures. And many times when I finish praying, I'm in tears. Because of the responsibility of preparing the Word of God for His sheep. In prayer, as we see in these verses here, as we're going to begin reading in verse 1, there's a lot of prayer that is not prayer. He says, take heed that you do your alms before men, do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shuttest the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have in need of before ye ask him. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We have in these verses of Scriptures, I believe, how to pray and how not to pray. Amen. In when to pray and where to pray. Public prayer is essential. But as through the years I've seen many public prayers that weren't worth the words that were uttered. And we're all guilty of that. And we need to guard against when we're called on to pray in public that we surrender our hearts and souls unto the Lord. That we can shut ourselves, so to speak, in a closet and speak unto our Heavenly Father. Amen. And we want to look here, first of all, at the privilege of prayer. It's a privilege, but it's also a commandment. We're commanded to pray. It's our communication with our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, when I wanted something or needed something, I communicated with my father. Mm-hmm. Now, there was times that I had to ask my mother first because my dad was working. But his word was final. Mm-hmm. And at that time, if he said no, you better not ask again. But you know, sometimes the only time people call on the name of their Heavenly Father is when they want something. And I'm not talking about needs. I'm talking about wants. And I don't think those prayers are heard. But as we come before our Heavenly Father, in verse 6 here of our text, he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Amen. In other words, enter into your closet. We don't need to make a spectacle of ourselves when we pray. Amen. We don't need to howl. You don't even have to open your mouth.
Right.
Hannah didn't pray verbally. Samuel thought she was drunk. But her prayer was earnest. And her prayer was answered. And she honored her word that she gave unto the Lord.
Amen.
That's another problem with prayer. We ask, and many times we receive, but we don't return unto the Lord what we've asked. But in Hebrews chapter 4, we realize here also that the Lord, what the Lord said is concerning prayer. And we need to realize this also. In verse 14, he says, "Seeing then," of chapter 4, "seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." When we pray unto our Heavenly Father, and we're to pray through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must realize that He has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There's nothing that we endure in this life that Christ did not endure when He was here. In fact, He endured a whole lot more than what we have or will. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Amen.
And we come through Him unto the Heavenly Father. And we let our petitions be known. And as you read the scripture, he tells us that there are various types of prayers that we offer up to God. And there's many individuals we're to pray for. There's many things we're to pray for. I guess I need to get my political remark in too, Brother Tweet. I heard that report about Hillary. She was being interviewed. And she said she was a very religious person. That she prayed continuously. And I heard a day or two later on the radio on the way to school that she was considered the most religious candidate running for president at this time. And I thought back and I said, she forgot to say which pray she was talking about, P-R-E-Y rather than P-R-A-Y.
Amen.
That's her. But we're not to pray on individuals.
Amen.
But sometimes our prayers are like that. I don't think God honors them.
Amen.
We are to offer up prayers of praise to God. Prayers of thanksgiving. We're to make prayers of intercession for even our enemies.
Amen.
For the needs of ourselves as well as everyone else.
Amen.
Daniel was mentioned here earlier in the conference, went to his room 3 times of a day and opened his windows towards Jerusalem and he prayed. And I believe we need to set aside time to pray. It's been my habit since the Lord saved me that when I rise up in the morning, I give thanks for the day and ask for guidance throughout that day and ask for His protection throughout the day. And at night, before I retire, I give thanks for what He has done for me.
Amen.
But the problem with my prayer life is in between, many times it lacks. It lacks. We've all been in the situation, and probably will again, we get so busy at doing what we have to do through the course of a day. When it comes time to retire at night, you think, I haven't prayed. Oh, I've given thanks for the food that I've ate, but that's about the only praying you've done. We need to take time to pray unto our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Now, there's some things about prayer that the Lord mentions in these verses. In verse 7, He says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, vain repetitions is a broad area. And many times we don't think of ourselves as using vain repetitions, but we do. And we'll touch a little bit more on that in a moment. But vain repetitions are meaningless and mechanical repeating of phrases and unnecessary phrases. Chanting. You know, there's if you use just a bunch of empty phrases as prayer, you're no better off than somebody grabbing a rosary and repeating those things. Or any other religion that uses prayer beads. Or looking at a prayer book. I remember reading an article one time where these people had a great tragedy in their life. And they were searching all the prayer books they could find for a proper prayer to offer up because of this tragedy. That's no good. Prayer needs to come from the heart, not at what somebody's authored. Prayer is communication between ourselves and our God. When we think of vain repetitions, and I don't remember who I heard preach this or read it one time, but it made sense and it stuck with me. If we continuously in our prayers repeat Father, God, Lord, we're making vain repetitions. We've all done it. You know where most people learn how to pray or verbally pray? By listening to others.
Right.
I'll never forget the first time I was called on to pray in publicly in church. I didn't know whether to stand up, sit down, or what. But you know what? Those early times were total surrender. And I'm sorry to say there's been many times in my life my public prayers have not been surrendered. That's what we need.
Amen.
But when we think of praying unto our Heavenly Father. When we address one another, when we're communicating with one another, do we continue to repeat the first name of the individual we're talking to? No. After the initial speaking or addressing, we normally use the pronoun you. Or your. Should we not speak to our Heavenly Father the same way? It's communication. It's talking. It's our relationship with Him. We need to think about those things sometimes. Prayer is not just offered to be seen of men. Brother Jones mentioned this morning that children need to see their parents praying. And I agree. Amen. I agree. And again, most times when I never visibly seen my mother praying a lot, or my dad, but my bedroom was right next to theirs. And there was no insulation in houses in those days, or at least ours there wasn't. And we knew it in the wintertime because the wind blew right out through, and so did the snow come on in with it. But as I would be in bed at night, and I'd hear my mother in that bedroom next to me praying. I could hear. I knew she prayed. Heard her praying for me and my sisters and many others. And again, you don't have to pray verbally. But if you're praying and you're seeing of your children, they're aware of what you're doing.
Yeah.
They're aware. Here in verse 1 of our text, he says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." In other words, if your prayer life before others is just simply for them to see that you can say some words, that you have great flowery speech, you haven't prayed. You've wasted your time. You've wasted your time. We may verbally speak flowery words for prayers in public to impress people. And that's the only thing you've done. You've impressed somebody. But it's of no value. God does not accept that which is done out of pride to esteem others or to receive the esteem of others. Public prayer is not done or should not be done to draw attention to yourself. Verse 2 here says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In other words, if you entered into this building and you were called on to pray, and you prayed for 10 minutes with all great flowery language and just to impress somebody, you've already received your reward. You've received your reward. Prayer's not for the purpose of us receiving a reward of men. Yes, we desire reward, but it's the graciousness of our Heavenly Father. That's what we should desire in our prayers. When we pray for the speakers here in this conference, it's not that they would receive any glory for themselves, but that God would receive the glory and that we would be used of Him. That's the purpose of praying here. Prayer prayer done for pride is of hypocrisy and doesn't receive an audience with God. When you pray such prayers, you won't receive any reward of your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Now, for the remaining time we've got, we want to look at this model prayer that the Lord's given us. And I've been in places where people have needed prayer, and they'll say, let's all gather around in prayer. Let's repeat the Lord's Prayer. Because that's what the world calls this. This is not the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17.
Amen. Amen.
This is a model prayer. And we need to heed what he says in this model prayer. And if your prayer life is right, you're going to follow what the Lord says in this model prayer. I'm not saying repeating this prayer. That's not what I'm saying. You're going to follow what he says in these prayers. And you may not pray for everything that's in this model prayer in one session of prayer, but sometime, I believe, during the course of a day, you should touch on the things that are in this prayer. He says, Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And I believe this should be the first and foremost thing on our mind before we address him in prayer. God knows what we need. He knows what we stand in need of before we ever utter a word.
Amen.
I made that statement to somebody one time, and they said, what do you pray for? Because it honors God, and he wants us to communicate to him that we know that we're dependent on him.
Amen.
And that we receive everything in this life from him.
Amen.
If it weren't for him, we wouldn't be here.
Amen.
He says, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
Our prayer is first of all to our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. Our Eternal Father. The one who has given us everything that we have. The one that's going to give us everything that we shall receive. The one from whom all blessings flow. But he's our Heavenly Father. When I address my physical father, when he was alive and in this world, I recognized that my life, my physical life, came from he and my mother. They brought me into this world, and they raised me for 18 years and gave me and supplied my needs, even though I realized God supplied them with what they had. So when we address our Heavenly Father, we're addressing him not only as the one who has begotten us by his Spirit, but we're addressing him as the one whom we have received everything that we have in this life. In this prayer, the Heavenly Father is addressed once. You notice that? He's addressed once in his dwelling place. Heaven is God's throne. Earth is his footstool. Our Heavenly Father, this places him above us. Many times people have a God in whom is in their hands, one that they can manipulate, one that they can dictate to, but we can't dictate to our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
We can't tell him what to do. We receive from him everything we need.
Right.
Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy or sanctified. Holy above all. Holy above all names. There's no other name above his. And we come to him humbly, surrendering our soul and our spirit unto him. One of the worst prayers, if you want to call it that, I ever heard when I first got out of the Army. That's been over 37 years ago. I sold insurance for a couple of years. And they, after a certain amount of time, they invited everybody to join the Underwriters Association. And they had a breakfast, a prayer breakfast, they called it, once a month. And we went. I went to one. And at this prayer breakfast, this individual, he was supposed to be a Presbyterian, whatever they call him, was going to lead in prayer. And I bowed my head. I said, man, I'm going to hear a prayer now. He says, thank you for this bounty. Amen. And he sat down. I said, I better pray for my food. You know, that's not prayer. That's not giving God any honor. He's in heaven. We're on earth. As he tells us in Isaiah 64 and verse 8, we're the clay. He's the potter. He's the one who has molded us. He's the one who has made us. Not just physically, but spiritually he has made us. We're within his hands. We're to be used as his will dictates. And this is how we should approach him as our Heavenly Father. You know, sometimes, as I said, I was raised up on a small farm and we raised the majority of our food. My dad many times would work long hours and he'd say, when you get up tonight, or this morning, he says, I want you to go out and hoe the corn, hoe the potatoes, hoe the beans, and then go out in the back, because we raised a whole bunch of potatoes back there and beans, and start out there, and we'll finish them on Saturday. You know what happened if I didn't? They were still waiting for me, but I got a little warm morning. But our Heavenly Father, my Father had addressed me.
Yes.
And I was to respond. Our Father has addressed us.
Amen.
Pray unto me.
Yes.
Pray unto me.
Yes.
We're to respond.
Amen.
He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. In other words, this is telling us that God is the sovereign over all.
Amen.
He's a sovereign in heaven. He's a sovereign upon the earth. Whatever takes place on this earth is because of his will.
Amen.
Just as it is in heaven. You know, I think some people's idea of sovereignty of God is he's sovereign in heaven and this earth takes care of itself. That he never purposes or plans anything on this earth. Heard individuals make a statement concerning Katrina a couple years ago that God couldn't have sent something like that and done all that. The good luck, God sent Katrina.
Amen.
He sends every storm that comes upon this earth. He's in control. He's the sovereign of this universe. And when we approach his throne, this is the way we are to approach him. You are the sovereign. You're in charge. Surrender unto him. Thy will be done. As it is in heaven, as it is in earth. When we bring things before him in prayer, we don't demand of him of anything. We make requests. And as we make those requests, we realize he's the sovereign. If it's his will, it will be done. If it's not His will, it won't be done. And there's some things we come before Him in prayer we know He's going to do. And we bring them before Him in the sense that we're surrendering to His will because we know He's going to do those things. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's not a demand. That's not threatening God. Again, it's a surrender to His sovereignty. It's all His. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Every grain of dirt on this earth is His. Every planet out there in space is His. Every star is His. Every human being on this earth is His. Every creature on this earth is His. The smallest little bug is His.
Amen.
And He says, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us out of Your great bounty what we stand in need of. The Lord, He said, He knows what we stand in need of before we ask. What are our needs in this world? Because people can't separate their needs from their wants.
Right.
Our needs are what? Shelter, clothing, and food.
Yeah.
Those are the basic things in this life. That's what we need. Everything else is His blessings.
Amen. Amen.
But people, they get things all mixed up. God, give us our daily bread.
Amen.
And part of that giving us our daily bread is providing us a way to purchase those things we need. I understand that. That doesn't mean run down to the local welfare office and sign up. That means get out and go to work.
That's right.
You don't. Asking God for your daily bread is not depending on the government.
Amen.
And I tell you what, I won't mention his name because some of you know him. I had a preacher one time tell me I'd been laid off from General Motors, and he says, well, when your unemployment runs out, he says, all you need to go down is get some food stamps. No, not me. I can work. I'm willing to work for a living.
Amen.
That is asking for your daily bread.
Amen.
Asking God to provide you with the means to take care of yourself and your family. Verse 32 of this chapter says, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your Father or your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Amen.
He knows what we need.
Amen.
And the thing when we surrender here is we're letting Him know that we understand that He knows what we need.
Amen.
And that we understand He's the one that provides us for those things. He says, and this is the hard one for people. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, there's not too many people that don't have trouble wanting you to forgive them. You know. But they have a hard time forgiving you. They commit an offense. And we ought to be—we are to be willing to forgive somebody who commits an offense. And I don't believe we should hold grudges against folks. I believe that's wrong. But yet, some people carry the chip around on their shoulder because they don't want to repent. But where does that come in with our prayer life? Are we to say because he or she will not confess their sin, well, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to hold a grudge against them. No, let it go. Leave them in God's hands. Let God deal with them. Treat them. I mean, there's certain things that people do that you do put limits on. But what I'm saying is you don't hold the grudge. You let it go. Leave it in the Lord's hands. At the same time, when somebody offends you, they may not be aware they've offended you. And there's scripture that tells you how to handle that. Go to them. Let them know they've offended you. That's part of what he's saying here. And as far as our forgiveness is concerned, I believe, let's look in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. He says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." That's all. Not part, not all. And that one who has committed the offense, you have to remember, this applies to them too. Leave them in God's hands. But he says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Amen. Forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verses 14 and 15 here says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And he's not talking about losing your salvation here. He's talking about chastisement. That's what he's talking about. The Lord is going to chasten you as long as you fail to confess your sins and put them under the blood. The penalty's taken care of. Christ only had to do that one time. But he's talking about a daily cleansing, a daily washing of the filth that we take in these bodies. And you cannot live a day on this earth. You couldn't even lock yourself in your house for 24 hours and not get filth from this world on your hands. I've heard some people talking about asking forgiveness for sins like, you know, it only happens occasionally. It happens every day. Every day. You can't pass through this day without having evil thoughts go through your mind.
Amen.
That's sin.
Amen. That's right.
Confess it. And he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Amen.
There's no temptation taking you that isn't common to all men. And God will provide a way to escape. That's what he's saying here in this prayer. Every facet of our life is taken care of in this prayer or this model prayer. And just repeating it doesn't do you a bit of good. It's taking the principles. This is an outline. Taking the principles that he's given us in this outline and applying them to our prayer life. And I believe this is taken care of in your closet.
Amen.
This is communication between us and our Heavenly Father, the one who cares for us. Does he tell us in 1 Peter 5, to cast our cares on him, for he careth for us.
Amen.
Prayer comes from in here. not here.
Amen.
That doesn't mean we aren't thinking when we're praying. That's not what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. From here.
Amen.
It's a surrender. God help us that we would pray and pray earnestly and honestly before Almighty God.